Hey, Sports Talk Garage, this is Matt. Guys, you need to take a close look in the mirror at your nose and ears. There's some weird hairs growing there, and you probably haven't noticed, but your lady certainly has. Guys, did you know that 79% of partners polled admit that long nose hair is a major turnoff? Manscaped has just released the Weed Whacker to handle that situation for you. Let's be honest, yanking them out with your fingers can hurt worse than nicking the boys. Ladies, if you're listening in, this is just a product needed to take care of those unsightly hairs and makes a great gift, whether you're trying to tell them in a straight out fashion or just for a random gift that you love them. It has a 9,000 RPM rotary dual blade system to fix all of those hairs needing to go away quickly. Same as the mower 3.0, it's rechargeable and waterproof. Get 20% off plus free shipping using the code podcast20 at manscaped.com.
Welcome to the Sports Talk Garage Podcast, where we discuss and debate the latest news and hot takes from the court and the ball fields to the locker room and front office. We are four lifelong friends who grew up with a love of professional and collegiate sports. Today, we are bankers, investors, professors, and entrepreneurs, but our love of sports has never changed. Come listen for the fun, gain some insight, and probably a few laughs as we give you our perspective on those oversized contracts, game-winning scores, and franchise players. This is the Sports Talk Garage. All right, welcome into Season 2, Episode 45 of the Sports Talk Garage Podcast. This is your host, David, alongside my friend and buddy, Matt. We're happy to be back with you this week. Happy to have on a guest host with us this week, a gentleman who brought on in episode 42 a few weeks ago. Mike Pierce is back. How are you tonight, Mike?
I'm doing well, David. Thank you for having me back.
Yeah, happy to have a new voice on for the evening just to get a different perspective on some different things that have been happening in the world of sports. As everybody knows, sports are generally slowly starting to come back in different areas. So it's nice to see the beginning process of, you know, games coming back to life. But before we get into this, go ahead, drop the green flag and talk about something that happened a couple years ago that's really coming to light now. Everybody was all excited about this, you know, high school phenomenon, Zion Williamson, who ended up going to Duke University, played for a year, went to the NBA down in Orlando right now for the NBA playoffs that are starting in a few weeks. But recently it's come out that his stepfather accepted $400,000 pretty much in exchange for Zion kind of verbally saying he'll go to Duke. That's a lot of money, and I could think of a lot of ways I would spend $400,000, but what are some of the ramifications we have on what that could do to Zion, the bigger lawsuit that that's a part of, and also to Duke?
Well, I love the fact, first of all, that the benefit of the $400,000, as far as we know, is received by a guy named Lee Anderson, or I'm sorry, by Slavko Durich, who's a Canadian marketing agent. How in the world did we get around to using, I mean, you know, USA, like, bring everything home, and now we're using Canadian marketing agents for this stuff?
You know, it's a worldwide, you know, game now, and who knows? Canada's got smart gauge. I'm sure they, you know, were good. They obviously worked with Zion for a year, which is where this lawsuit's kind of pending from at the moment. But yeah, stepfather got, allegedly, we'll say it that way, got $400,000 for essentially him going there. And obviously this is part of that bigger lawsuit by Gina Ford of Prime Marketing Sports, who's suing Zion for $100 million, which is a crazy amount in itself. But this is just kind of another thing that's been tacked on to that, just to, you know, some more proof of, hey, Zion did this, Zion did that, just to try to probably recoup some of this money that she's not going to get all of. But let's kind of go back to Duke for a moment. If it was proven that, you know, the stepfather did receive $400,000, what does that do to Duke moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be damaging to their reputation. You know, Duke being the powerhouse that they are, and Mike Krzyzewski's always had, as far as I can tell, a pretty sterling reputation. But, I mean, if you're, whether Krzyzewski knew or who knew or what, if Duke is involved in basically buying a commitment from a high schooler, that's not a good look with the image that the NCAA tries to portray for itself right now.
No, not at all. And you got to think, would the NCAA, I mean, they're, I feel like they're slowly losing power every month as things go by when it comes to college athletics, and, you know, conferences are gaining more, and then these lawsuits that are really becoming, you know, a law now, where college athletes are going to end up being paid eventually, a few years down the road.
Yeah.
What are they going to, I mean, could they take away wins, negate anything they did that season? Are we looking at maybe loss of scholarships going forward, or a postseason ban this year, next year, depending how long it takes for this to come out?
Yeah, I mean, I think all of that's on the table. I think those, you know, it's kind of like the, you know, what USC dealt with Reggie Bush, you know, having to vacate the wins and you basically just erase everything that happened while Zion was there. I think that's all on the table.
Yeah. Matt, what are you about Coach K? What do you think is going to happen with him if this is proven to be accurate?
If this is proven to be accurate, I'm afraid we're going to have the way of a lot of other coaches we've seen go down in the past for stuff that, you know, this is where a college has to ask somebody to step down, you know, because they can't have that on the reputation. It will be, as Mike said, a blemish on his record overall. But, you know, the man's held so many years of not even winning, but the respect of his players and his coaching ability and coaching his staff. And let's be honest, I don't even know who else had a better record of coaching NBA players in the Olympics, because he's one of the few people I've seen that can pull together a bunch of high-end superstars to play as a team. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really hard, but, you know, let's look at the guy's age and kind of say, how long were you planning to stay on anyway? This would be a unfortunate but easy way for him to step out and enjoy the rest of the time with his family.
Definitely. I mean, Coach K is 73, so definitely not a young spring chicken by any means. But you got to think, could it be one of these situations where he's, you know, it's time to resign. You know, he's done all he could do. He's accomplished everything there is in the world of basketball. Maybe go spend some time with family. Or would it be the NCAA saying, hey, you know, you got to get out? Is there a path this could lead towards? Or maybe just let him take the graceful way out and just kind of say, you know, it's time for me to retire, hand the mantle over to the next guy at Duke.
I think this goes on like any lawsuit that you see anywhere else. They've loaded up the table on both sides, and now it's going to come down to I think one of the things we've forgotten in America is you are innocent until proven guilty. So the burden of proof has to lay on whoever is suing against the Ford family and Williamson and all that. But if they come down to that and somehow Coach K is caught in the crossfire somewhere or happens to be part of this, unless they can really prove he knew all about it. And we've seen this again also under different coaching staffs for different things. I don't know that that's one of those things where you're going to see him be dishonorably discharged unless they could really prove something down the road. I think it would just hit a point where he, you know, politely steps down and says, you know, it's been a great career, I'm done. Because I just don't see him as one of those people that's going to sit there and at this age fight tooth and nail to hang on to this type of job at 73. I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. I love Coach K as a man, and I, as a Duke fan, I love having him there because, you know, making North Carolina look bad since what year, David?
We're going to skip over that part. Move past it, please.
Poor Dean Smith. Anyway, that's my thought.
Oh, man. Well, let's move away from Zion since we're starting to talk about UNC and bash them. Go over to another topic that's coming up a little bit. So we're in July. You know, colleges are starting back in the next month. Students are supposed to come back to campus, go online, whatever each individual college or conference has seen. But college sports have, you know, that's that big question mark right now. What are we going to do? Is there going to be college sports? What will it look like? Will fans be in the stadiums? You know, some conferences are even starting to say, you know what? It's not even worth it. Like the Ivy League, Centennial, California Collegiate Athletic Association, and others just flat out canceled fall sports. Big Ten and Pac-12 going conference-only games to help, you know, mitigate the distance of travel. Some other big ones, ACC, Big 12, and SEC are going to make a decision later in, you know, later this month, kind of trying to see what numbers look like with this coronavirus still around.
Well, you can tell the Big Ten has been fighting this idea too, because they've even said we're only going to play conference games.
Yeah.
As little travel as possible.
So, Mike, from your experience just in the world of college athletics, do you foresee this as like the first domino fell and the others are going to follow and say, well, if this conference did it, we need to, because we don't want to look bad if something happens with us. We got to protect our athletes. Or is it really just going to be like an individual decision, just depending where in the country you are, how populated the area is that the college is in?
My best guess is that we're going to see a lot of, we're not going to see a lot of sports in the fall, a lot of college sports. And I base that on what happened 4 months ago. You know, before the cases really started piling up around the country, the Ivy League was the first of anybody to decide that they were going to cancel their basketball tournament, and they were going to cancel the rest of spring, and they were pulling the plug, because the Ivy League can do that because they don't have the money invested mm-hmm. in sports, and so they're the first ones to do it. And just like in March, you know, they pulled the plug, and within 48, 72 hours, everything was gone. And I think that given the situation that the country is in, the difficulty with so many schools talking about being online only or hybrid models and whatnot, it doesn't make sense for a vast majority of colleges to have sports in the fall. And I think that you're going to see in the next few days, the NCAA is going to make that decision easier for everybody.
So this decision by the Big Ten and Pac-12 just to go conference only, I think that's mainly just a stopgap to still give fans a little hope, but not fully saying, you know what, we're just going to cut it out, because I mean, it's a big revenue driver for all these big teams out there.
That is true. And that I would say the one sport that could force this to happen is FBS D1 football, because they're the only ones really that are out here for money. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody is making money off of Pac-12 volleyball. As good as it is, it's not a money driver. So, but football, with all the TV contracts and the boosters and all the different things that are involved with that, they could be the ones that could try to come up with a creative solution to try to make it work. I think the conference only idea is something that's the only model that even has a chance. There's no good reason to be playing the non-conference games. Most of them, they don't have a whole lot of impact on mm-hmm. the season as a whole. There's a handful of rivalries that will be missed. But for the most part, those are guarantee games that the big schools pay to the little schools, and it's just not worth the extra travel and the extra risk for everybody involved. So I would say it's possible that we might see FBS football. But I also wouldn't be surprised if they end up deciding to move that to the spring. I think I saw something today that the Pac-12 has announced that they're going conference only, but that they are still considering moving it to the spring, depending on where we're at in the next month or so.
So actually that's been an interesting piece that I've seen a couple places, including high school, tossing out there, that they rotate fall to spring and spring to fall, since there's more non-contact sports in the spring. Track tends to be one of those. Golf can be one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball doesn't have a whole lot of contact except with that ball. I mean, you right. tag somebody out on the infield, okay, but still, that's not the same as basketball, football, soccer, lacrosse, all running into each other and
true
human contact at all times. And actually, to your point, and I am curious your thought about that, because the National Junior College Athletic Association just put out there that they are moving all fall sports to the spring.
Well,
mm-hmm.
So I guess, Mike, you have more experience in this. Is that something that's doable for the college realm if they at least just get their stuff in? Because now we're looking at also another season, because we've already given spring sports from last year a free bye to let the students have an extra year of of eligibility. Do we look at that with the fall semester as well? Or do you try to move it to spring potentially, and does that give them that season in?
Yeah, those are tough questions. This is
Sorry, I
such
think out
a
loud.
oh no, hey, I'm with you. This is such a weird situation that, I mean, none of us ever really predicted or planned for. So I think that as long as people are willing to make accommodations, we could make it work. You could play all your sports in the spring. I've seen different ideas from people about how to try to shoehorn everything in, from trying to play like the fall sports first in January and February, and then play the winter sports like basketball and whatnot in March and April, and then do the spring sports in May and June, which would basically shorten everybody's season by a month or two, but that way there's no overlap. I think that's maybe not a terrible idea. I don't really know how that would all work, but I don't really know how any of it would work, because when you're looking at trying to schedule 12 to 15 to 25, depending on the school, all these different
Wow.
sports at the same time, you're gonna either have to be willing to play at weird times. My coworker has always loved when baseball has like spring break and they play games at 10 a.m. on a Tuesday.
Hey.
He's advocated for baseball to play all their games at 10 a.m. on weekdays because it beats being in the office.
Yeah.
So if schools, the small schools that don't have the TV rights to worry about, they could maybe do some interesting scheduling and be creative with it. When you're talking about Big Ten and Pac-12 and SEC, I mean, I don't really know how you make all that work. It's tough.
Could you imagine in the spring if we did have fall and spring sports combined, every single night on TV, all of America would just be captivated watching whatever is on since we haven't had anything for it, what, 8 months at that time? I feel like we'd be a
Yeah.
very unproductive society at work the next day because we're just going to stay up late watching sports every night. Random thought there.
No,
Matt.
10 a.m. 10 a.m.
10 a.m. So we get
You're not
nothing
going to
done
be
during work. That
functional.
would be
You're not going
worse.
to be functional during work because 10 a.m. baseball. Come on, David, keep up.
Right.
You know,
Well, I mean, we're gonna get a taste of that with pro sports here in a few weeks,
true.
because we're looking at, I mean, you look at the first week of August, you're gonna have hockey games. The NHL is gonna be playing basically from noon to midnight Eastern time every day. You're gonna have the NBA essentially doing the same thing. I think their first game every day is gonna be around 1, and they're not gonna get done until close to midnight.
Wow.
You're gonna have baseball games every night. You've got MLS playing their tournament with games in the morning and the evening. You're going to have the WNBA starting in a couple weeks, playing 3 games a day, a lot of days. It's like I've seen people liken it to the first 2 days of March Madness, when you get the whole slew of college basketball games that start at noon and go till midnight, and the whole country doesn't do
Stops.
work. It's going to be like that, but with pro sports and for like a month or two. It's going to be crazy.
So I should just burn all my PTO for August, September time frame and just enjoy it while it lasts, huh?
Cram it in, buddy. You might as well fly to a couple games while you're at it, if they'll let you in. Yeah.
If you can find the states that'll let you
Oh
in.
my goodness.
Well, I almost find this kind of funny too, because going back to when I worked in a corporate atmosphere, we used to joke, but in between calls or tasks or whatever you had going on, when the Masters was on and when the NCAA tournament was on, everybody would go directly. I swear, if you would have pulled up in the background what internet sites were being used the most, anytime those two tournaments were on, people were on their computer watching that in the background. So maybe we're already ready for this. I mean, we're
We've been preparing.
right. I did have an interesting thought, though, I want you guys to think about, and may we debate this a little bit. Does this give the NCAA an extra 5 minute break to figure out? Because let's be honest, the first time that these athletes are going to be able to get paid, truly get paid, and I think we're looking mostly at football being the first sport to do it. the NCAA is going to have to deal with this starting this fall with major Division One, as Mike said, FBS football that's in it for the money because all the money's there. So if that's the case, is this giving – if the NCAA comes out, as you said, and makes a some kind of discussion point on we're going to make this easier on you guys not necessarily holding these sports in the fall, is that just honestly maybe a background thought in their mind of, hey, we get a 5-minute reprieve or a 1-semester reprieve on how we're going to settle this up?
No, it's definitely a possibility. Obviously, administrators and coaches and all the support staff are thinking about the health and safety of students as a priority. So it might fall to the back burner for a little while until things get figured out and life somewhat resumes back to normal. Then that discussion obviously becomes a hot topic again. But I mean, if the NCAA really wanted to, they could just put out this quiet statement saying, nope, we're just going to push it back a little bit. Don't pay attention to this. And let's still focus on what's going on right now. I mean, I wouldn't put it past the NCAA for doing something like that just to kind of, help keep them where they are.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I think we all could envision the NCAA thinking along those lines, given their history with the whole paying athletes and their position on it. So yeah, I think that's certainly probably not the impetus for making any decisions, but it's one of those, well, it's kind of a nice side benefit, if you will.
And so much to think about. And I'm sure in the next few days and weeks, we're going to get a lot more decisions pretty much on all media, just telling us, hey, this is going to happen or this is not going to happen. And here's what it's going to look like. So we're going to be ready to see what happens, and I'm sure we'll have some good talking points later down the road. But we're going to go ahead, take a short break, thank our sponsors, and be back with everybody in just a moment. All right, welcome back to Season 2, Episode 45. We have been chatting with Mike Pierce about Zion Williamson, some potential money scamming, can we say, going on, and also some college sports for the fall, see what may happen or potentially may not happen. But let's move on up to the professional ranks. So the NFL recently has said, they're still planning on, going full force, holding 16 games. They have knocked off 2 preseason games, but more, I guess, rules are coming out about what players and staff are allowed to or not allowed to do. The one thing that I read that I thought was a little ironic and kind of funny is that jersey bans or jersey swaps are banned after games. This is a common practice. Usually star athletes will come together, swap jerseys, sign them for the other guy. And, guys are starting to collect these jerseys from other players. And they're going to have this huge collection up on their wall in their man cave at home. But when I stopped to think about it, I was like, for 60 minutes, these guys are coming together to hit, to tackle, to wrap up, to bump into each other, to push each other. But as soon as that clock hits zero, it's like, oh, hold on. Please step away. Stay 6 feet away from each other. Is this ironic? Is it hypocritical? Is it just the world we live in? Because I've seen some athletes on both sides of this coin actually talk about this is great or this is horrible. Mike, what do you think?
I think it sounds kind of ridiculous. I to your point, if you're going to have them out there playing the game the way that it's played, then the jersey swap is not going to lead to somebody getting sick, and I feel like I haven't read all the stuff about what they're negotiating, but basically it seems like all the pro sports, the players want to have ample testing, and they want to make sure that the players that are playing are negative for COVID. And if they're going to do that, and you're going to make sure that everybody has tested negative before they go play, then swapping the jersey should be fine, right? I mean,
you would think so.
I it's like, it just seems like one of those ideas that maybe in a boardroom somebody thought this might look good, but it's not going to mean a whole lot to most people, I don't think.
So this pretty much came down from the lawyer in the corner office who has not been outside in the last 8 years thinking, yeah, let's do this. Let's put this down there. And everybody else is like, what?
Yeah.
Tell you what, here's what we're going to do, guys. So after getting full slobber knockers all over each other from a couple good hits, which is why we're trading jerseys out of respect, we're going to play trick or treat jersey fashion. Wait, I'm going to pull my bag out, that's going to be holding all my pads anyway that nobody's allowed to touch, even though they've been slamming each other all over it. And we'll put that in the trash bag. This is going to be like high school stuff back before you had travel gear in college. So hold out your bag. Tell you what, take your jersey off your pads, throw it in here, and I'll just have the equipment guys like
Wash
toss the
it.
entire bag into like some kind of high-end furnace that doesn't burn everything. Lysol the whole thing, and we'll see if the jersey has anything left.
I mean, I gear, social distancing daily, multiple times a day. It's a phrase I've never really used before March, and then all of a sudden it's a part of our everyday vocabulary. It's probably going to be in Webster's dictionary within the next couple of years. So I understand, social distancing, there's a purpose for it. But to your point, Mike, if these players are being tested right before a game and it's negative, what's the harm in letting them stick around for an extra 10 minutes? It's not like something's going to happen in that 10-minute time span that would not have happened in 60 minutes playing before when they are purposely running into each other. Yeah, it's just one of those. It looks good on paper, but in reality, putting it into practice, it's kind of maybe it's not the smartest idea. I wouldn't be surprised if guys still do it. They can afford the fine if they really want
Oh,
to.
yeah, absolutely.
So, and probably if it happens in week one, the NFL should be like, you know what? Yeah, you guys are right. We're going to let you do this because it doesn't matter. So, all right. So, as we are on a podcast, let's talk about different ways guys communicate, one of those being radio. So, recently, ESPN Radio made a lot of changes to their daily lineup. This was kind of a big one. Some guys who have been there for a couple decades, no longer there. Guys are switched around. Some people had reduced hours. Some people went TV over to radio, vice versa. Seems like ESPN is making a lot of changes recently that maybe not are in the smartest ideas in terms of listenership. Is this a radio dying industry as more things are moving digital? Or are they just trying to, some guys just want to be paid too much or they're not willing to pay right now? Matt?
Oh gosh. Well, as we see a lot of change going on right now inside of how media is being put out. In fact, we even had a great episode a while back. David, help me out with the name. A group out of South Florida,
Yeah, Ethan
Ethan
Skolnick
Skolnick.
of 5 Reasons Sports.
Yep. So we brought Ethan on, and he was an original style sports writer, sports columnist, started out in all those various things. And even he said to us, this is an industry that's changing over and over. I mean, when Disney bought ESPN, we saw a lot of layoffs and big changes happening. This is a Joe Rogan world. It's very podcast based, and it's very easy to record and frankly do it live in front of a YouTube setup. And now YouTube has their paid service, and it wouldn't be hard to do it that way, or ESPN's paid service to listen to these guys live while doing this. I mean, I think we've talked about this before. You have ESPN Plus mixed with Disney and Hulu for $13 a month. And most people are willing to pay that just for Hulu without commercials, or Disney if you have kids. So there's a lot of different ways that you're going to be able to get your content. So the fact that these guys are making some big changes, and I think one of the ones was strictly around the fact of these guys that have been commentating for a long time up in New York, because New York was a very radio-centric hub. Lots of live radio shows, and but it just seems to me where everybody has a computer in hand with internet tethered, most of it unlimited, and now you're able to go on, pick up whatever sourcing you want. Again, YouTube being one of the biggest ones where you can go back and watch older stuff. Just pick something out. Somebody's got to record it and put it out there. What's the difference between listening to it live or missing it and then coming right back to it afterward?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a different industry is the way things are changing. So for me, I worked at 7 to 4 shifts, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. for about 4 years. And at that time, I was one of the first people in my office for about 1 to 2 hours. So driving to work, Mike and Mike was a big part of my day. Getting there, listen to it in the office. I was really upset when, they got rid of that and went to Golic and Wingo, but it was still fun. And now, you know, that's gone. And Mike Golic, after 20 years, is no longer going to be on the radio for ESPN. Is that Mike? Is that not Mike and Mike, but Mike? Is that good? Is that bad? I mean, is it just time for a change after so long?
I would tend to say that it is time for a change. I will openly admit I am not an expert in this field. I am not a radio guy. I have not really ever been a radio guy. And I know a lot of people who are, and I've got a lot of coworkers and a lot of friends who swear by their favorite radio personality, and they always try to tune in, whether they're in the car or at work. So I get that there's that draw and that appeal to the personality. But I think Matt has the idea that it's not about listening to them live right now when they're saying it. You want to listen to them, but it doesn't have to be on ESPN's timetable. They can do podcasts, they can do YouTube things. There's all these different options now. And for people, I feel like the world of TV went through this change over the last couple of decades when TiVo came out and people began to time shift and watch their shows when they want to. You know, how many people honestly sit down now at 8 o'clock on a Tuesday night to watch a show on NBC? Like, there's so few things that are appointment TV anymore that TV has just had to adapt to that. And there's now, you look at the money that Netflix and Amazon and Hulu are paying to create their own shows that they just drop whenever they feel like it. You know, the whole scheduling of things has completely changed for the world of TV. And I think radio is starting to get to that point where the personalities have found that there's more money and there's more listenership by doing a podcast that people can download and listen to at their leisure, as opposed to every day from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern, you've got to be listening to the radio.
I'm glad you brought up TiVo, because that is something that I have written down right in front of me. I mean, we're all the age when we grew up, you know, if you wanted to watch something, you had to go watch it when it was actually on TV. But TiVo was this revelation of, I can record it now, watch it later. And I'm almost conditioned to the point where I don't really watch anything live unless it's a sporting event. And if I have to watch commercials, I'm almost upset. Like, why am I watching commercials? And I imagine people who are teenagers today have not lived a life without some type of DVR device where they can just skim through everything they don't want to see. Yeah, it's okay, well, radio is behind. And yeah, I feel like this is a way that they are catching up slowly.
First of all, you didn't care, because let's all be honest, at some point we stuck a videotape kids in the VCR and told it to record at X amount of time. And if it was before that, you had to sit there and hit record so that you could go do something else. And by the time you recorded over the same VHS tape about six times, or my personal favorite, go to Blockbuster, rent the VHS, and realize that some idiot decided to tape over that instead of the one they were supposed to and didn't realize which tape they turned in. That was my favorite.
What's Blockbuster again?
Exactly. But I'm just saying, you skipped a step, man. We all had that, like,
timer setting
on the VCR, bud.
Yep. You're not wrong about that. It's been a long time since I've thought about that, but yes, I do remember those days. And you had to make decisions, because you had, if you only had one VCR in the house, what was the one thing to record at 8 o'clock? And then, you know, for me, I had to fight with my mom over what we'd record, because she was recording half the things on TV. Yeah. So, you know, yeah, you're right. VCR was the thing.
So we move from VCR with one tape to DVR with, you know, 20 hours, and all of a sudden it grows, and, you know, now there's like 100 or 200 hours. You can just keep movies and hours of a full season of a TV show on there. Yeah, it definitely does seem like radio is slowly migrating that direction, where who's going to listen to it live when there's so many other things grabbing for our attention? And in America, they do have that short attention span. They're going to get it when they want it. And it's that instant, I want it now, I can download it and listen to it.
I also blame XM Radio, Sirius XM, or whichever one you want, Because think about that. That was a step in the next direction or in the next phase for radio. Yes, you're going to pay for it, but you have so many channels that you could pick up various talk from. You know, NFL's got one, ESPN's got one, CBS. And honestly, my favorite thing, because if you buy a new car, heck, even if you buy a used car that's got XM radio built into it, you can go on XM generally and put in whatever they ask for, and they'll give you 3 months for free just to try it. Now, they'll never leave you alone after that, but you can still put it in your car. And my favorite thing is during the NFL season, if you go look at the listing, it'll be, for example, the Panthers are playing the Dolphins. Well, you can flip between the Panthers and the Dolphins sideline commentary so you can kind of hear what they're saying. Now, it'll drive you nuts if it's the other team, but I know we've had Jack Armpriester on here before who does some of the quoting and scores and a few other clips for the Dolphins. So I would flip over just to listen to him talk. And that was just a neat thing. It was only a flip of a dial, not, you know, not, I don't live in Florida, so there's no way for me to listen to that casting station.
True.
Yeah. So radio is just kind of playing catch up with no television right now. Essentially going to get to that point where nobody, I won't say nobody, but fewer and fewer people listen to radio shows live, and unless it's like Rush Limbaugh or something, I don't know.
Ooh.
So there's still a few big stalwarts out there who are probably always going to have a live show no matter what, and people will always tune into it because they're so popular. So let's go ahead, throw the checkered flag. Any final thoughts about sports, either tonight, this week, coming up, anything on your mind?
Ooh.
Matt.
Well, as you know, we've talked about the big groups that have been cutting out sports entirely, not just moving the season back, not looking for a revamp, but cutting them out. Even at the lower levels, there's a local town close to us that just canceled their junior high programs until further notice. And, you know, that kind of starts bringing the fear of, well, what are we going to see? Because, you know, obviously, if we don't have college sports, why would high school sports try to connect that? There's a lot more people playing in a lot more places. And if you are super concerned around COVID being a spread, I think it's seriously one of those things that could cause a big spread of a virus due to the contact. So, as a football coach, in that age group, I mean, obviously, I've been looking at this over the last month, thinking there's no way this is going to happen. I think we've even talked about that before. So that's the biggest thing I think for this week. I'm just waiting for the hammer to drop. The moment NCAA releases and says they're not going to do it, that'll be when high school and junior high start following suit right out of the gate. And it's just going to be a very, very sad and boring fall.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Mike, anything on your mind?
Well, I mean, I live in Florida, so I'm constantly bombarded with the ridiculous case numbers that we have daily now. It's 12,000 a day. It was 15,000 yesterday, and I don't want to get into the whole whether you should wear a mask or whatever. You know,
Stop letting New
that's
Yorkers into the state. Just kidding.
Yeah, that's a whole different topic of discussion that this podcast probably doesn't need to venture into. But I think from the sports side, we've started to see some sports come back. The NASCAR and IndyCar and F1, there's racing on every weekend. There's Major League Soccer now is back with their tournament. The NBA is working on coming back. Everybody else is coming back. And my fear is that people are going to see these professional athletes back playing and think then everybody should be back playing. And to what Matt said, with high school kids, I just don't know that it's a great idea in the fall. I think we need to get to a better place as a country before we start letting hundreds of teenagers go out and beat each other up on a football field, and you know, 20 or 30 of them come home and have COVID. It just, the professional athletes are in such a different world, you know, with Major League Soccer being in a bubble and NBA being in a bubble. We can't do that with college sports, and we certainly can't do that with high school sports. There's just no feasible way to protect them the way that these athletes can be protected. So I think it's great that there's pro sports to watch. I gladly have been devouring it as best I can in front of my TV, but we got to remember that they're in a totally different world and than the rest of us. And depending on the state you're in, some of these places out here, it's pretty scary.
Yeah, it can definitely look like the Wild West from some of the things that I read, which is a little daunting sometimes. But totally agree, you know, the NBA, MLS, all, even MLB, you know, they're very defined parameters of what they can and cannot do, and, you know, daily testing. And once you get down to the high school level, after school's done, you go home. If your parents go out, you might go with them. If you go visit grandma on the weekend, you're going to be in a different city around different people. So certainly a lot more variables to keep children safe. So it's going to be tough to even go for that.
I think the hardest thing right now, and I think we've all kind of talked about this at some point, whether it's with each other on the podcast here or in passing with your friends or family members that have any interest in sports whatsoever, we're looking for reprieve at this point. We need something to take our minds off the fact that we are where we are for a minute. Doesn't have to be the rest of the year. Just for a minute, it's nice to sit down and watch your favorite team play, whether they are absolutely miserable or play the best game they've ever played. That's part of the getting to go to sports or watching on TV or whatever. It's a couple hours, or if you get 30 minutes in, it's 30 minutes of highlights worth of just being away from what's going on in the world around you right now.
And this weekend, I am excited to watch Tiger Woods actually come back. He's going to be playing at the Memorial Tournament. First match since February. He didn't do so hot there. So I'm excited. Anytime Tiger's playing, I want to tune in and watch. So I'm going to be watching a little PGA. Hopefully Tiger does well. I'll get to see some Tiger red on Sunday, and he makes the cut on Friday.
Is he going to wear the red?
Tiger red Tiger. On Sundays, always. So in that, I'm definitely feeling a little quarantine food poundage. So I probably need to get back on my bike a little more and start riding around, because that'll be my personal sport that I'm going to do, because I've been inside too long, too close to the refrigerator. Too many hours a day.
Yeah.
So
haven't we all?
Yeah. So I need to get back out on the bike and get some miles going. So all right, guys. Well, it's been fun chatting tonight for season 2, episode 45. We're going to sign off, and we'll be back with everybody next week.
Mike, thanks for coming on.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
For sure.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you'd like to have your sports-related question or comment featured on the show, please email us at sportstalkgarage@gmail.com. Also, if you want to keep up to date with us outside of the show, please follow us on Twitter at sportsgaragepod. If you enjoyed the show, please drop us a 5-star review and subscribe if you want to hear more. So for Chris back in the studio, David and Matt, I'm John, and we are the Sports Talk Garage.